Happy New Year. We are back on a Friday to keep you company, hanging out here while there's nothing on TV except for college football. Can't thank you all enough for an amazing 2020. Future's bright for World Hockey Report. We're just going to keep growing. It's all because of you, the best fans in the world. Cody Jans and Adam Ermentrout with you here. It's Friday. It's sunny outside. It's beautiful. It's a holiday. And we're here to talk some hockey. Big show on the way. Luffy Bonin. Going to jump on, talk some Team Sweden, Joni Nieminen as well, the Finnish prodigy. Hey, he does a lot of the covering up here by Edmonton. Awesome guy, super excited to get him on. We'll talk Canada-Finland last night. We'll talk Brad Lambert. We'll dive into all of that on the show today. Let's snap it over to Saskatchewan. The kid Adam Ermentrout's there hanging out. What's up, buddy? How was New Year's Eve?
Well, about as good as it could be. I thought we were in for two great hockey games, and that really wasn't the case.
No, it wasn't. Man, how crazy was it, though? Like, I mean, we will get into Canada-Finland a little bit deeper, but Finland on pace for three shots in a game. I mean, I think I had tweeted the year when I said, okay, Ken, should we kick out Finland too or what? Because they weren't putting up much of a fight. I like how it's going to turn out, though, because with the reseeding, there's no bracket this year. So Canada's number one, USA is number two. That sets us up for a Canada-USA final if they're able to make it there. I like that. I'm down for it. Anytime I get to see those rivalries, I want to watch those games. I want to watch Sweden-Finland. I want to watch Czech Republic-Russia. I want to watch Canada-USA. Those are the best games to watch 99% of the time.
No, I agree. And I mean, right now, I think that you could probably argue there's a clear two favorites, both one seeds Canada and the U.S. because outside of the U.S.'s first game, what Chris Peters tweeted yesterday, they scored 22 unanswered goals since Russia scored that empty netter yesterday. So I think they're firing on all cylinders in Canada yesterday. I mean, you couldn't have really asked for a much better game. Maybe a little lull in the third, but that's probably expected. And as far as the other, I guess if you're saying there's five powerhouses, the other three, Finland, Russia, and Sweden, you don't really know what you're getting with them. We'll get into that with Uffe and Joni, but I mean, it's tough right now to see not a Canada USA, but that's why the World Juniors is great. You don't really know what to expect.
Now, give me your thoughts on that Canada-Finland game. I mean, obviously, the Canadians come out buzzing. They really dominate. You outshoot a team 17-1 in the first period. You kind of expect it's not going to be that close. But they did let Finland hang around. And I give, was the Finnish kid's name a net? Pirinen or something
yeah,
like Kari that?
Yeah, Kari Pirinen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he played good. He looks like a solid goaltender. I'm not going to lie. I don't know who's got his rights or anything. So, like, he played fine. But yet again, the fact that Canada wasn't able to put him away, didn't put him away, that does concern me a little bit. I mean, oh man, they just got so much firepower and everyone talks about it. Like, Germany put up three on Finland and Canada can only put up one more? I don't know. Yeah. That's a little concerning.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little, I agree, it is a little nitpicky at this point, because if they would have, like, lost 5-4, everybody would be up in arms about, oh, they finally play a good team. But, no, I agree. I mean, 17 shots in the first, you're only scoring once, you only score three against Slovakia. Like, they're the team of chances and getting a lot of shots, but right now it's, they haven't put anybody away. And, I mean, we talked about it last show where they dominated Finland in that Vancouver game in the quarterfinals a couple of years ago. And sure enough, you can't put him away. A guy breaks a stick and it goes back the other way. So that game, I mean, it could have had that yesterday. I think Finland hit a post when it was, I want to say 2-3, and then they scored eventually. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, and for Finland too, they have, like if you look at their team, they have one 19-year-old on the back end, and this is a 19-year-old tournament. They got Heinola on the back end, but after that, Lundell still has another year left. Lambert just turned 17, and he's, what, their second best player. So not taking anything away from the Finns, but it's hard for them, I mean, to do anything when their second best player is 17 years old.
How much did he play in Stoon? Like did he grow up there for a long time? I know. His family's obviously huge in the hockey world, but like I don't actually know his background as a kid.
I'm not 100% sure, but I know he played like Pee-wee Double A here with one of like the citywide teams, I guess, because his first cousin, Jimmy's my age. He plays at the University of Michigan, and I'm always seeing his posts on Instagram or whatever about it. And then his first cousin, Jimmy's dad. Dale coaches the Contacts, and then their uncle Lane coaches Washington, and then, or I guess Islanders now, and then Brad's dad Ross like moved to Finland to play hockey, I guess, and stayed there, and I think Brad's mom is Finnish, I want to say. So yeah, and I guess the Blades did draft him in the import draft. Can't imagine. That's probably a long shot to get him here, but worth the try.
I wonder, is he already playing in the top league or no?
Yeah,
that's wild. He's so impressive though. Yeah. Man, like you watch him out there, like it's weird to say, but he's like a 16, 17 year old who can slow the game down, which is wildly impressive. That's what I like about it, is when he's got the puck on his stick, he's pretty patient with it. Like, he's calm. It doesn't look like he's afraid of anyone out there. He's not afraid to make plays. Like there was some, I mean, Lundell had some terrible turnovers yesterday. And, you know, Lambert, I don't think he had any glaring, terrible mistakes. And, you know, I just like the way that he kind of has confidence, how he carries the puck. He's going to be a stud, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, I actually think Lambert's maybe not your typical Finn. I was texting with a buddy about Ottawa taking that, I think it was Jarventi over Peterka, and he's like, yeah, I don't know Jarventi. I was like, well, he's a Finn, like he's good both ways, not really a home run pick or anything, but yeah, Finland, they're a decent team. They're best players. They're an older team though too, a younger team, I mean, and it's tough with them, right? Like half their guys just got drafted last year, and I'd say next year they'll be better, but maybe they lose Lundell to Florida or something.
And for Finland, or I guess let's go back to Peterka. You brought that one up. We're not going to dive too far into Germany today, although I would love to get someone who covers Lundell and speaks English on. So if you know of anyone, just tag him in the show right now so we can talk that. But Peterka looks like a stud, man. Like this guy, he can shoot the puck. Like I didn't know how good of a shot he is, but man, like, I mean, he can let a wrist shot go on the snap of a finger. He's got a good one timer. He's accurate. He doesn't take long. And man, I mean, that's a steal of a second round pick if you're asking me right now. And Buffalo, I think you got yourself a good one there.
Yeah. Also my bad, Lundell. This is Lundell's last crack at the can here.
Oh, so. Benched him early.
No, Peterka looks really good. I mean, him and Stutzel and everybody, Germany shouldn't be there. And then they don't even finish the worst in their pool. And I mean, I tweeted this out. They could be they could be a semifinal team if they had the best defenseman of the tournament, Sider, and if Reichel was there too, right? And their goalie too.
Why can they not still be a semifinal team? If you look at Derek O'Brien, our guest on the last show, go download the podcast, World Hockey Report, iTunes, wherever you get your pod. I mean, he said, hey, if you play a rope-a-dope style against Russia like the Czechs love to do, you've got a chance. If you bore the Russians to death, if you out-system the Russians, you got a chance. I'm not saying the Germans are that good. I mean, they've been running with 14 guys this whole tournament. But there is that chance, and Germany's opportunistic like the Czechs. I mean, the Czechs only had 3 grade A chances in that game, I believe, and they scored twice. It's not like Askarov's unbelievable. I still don't think that Bugle kid in Germany's net's the greatest option in net by any reason. But hey, anyone can have a good game. You know, all it is you jump out to a lead and you lock it down against Russia. They could collapse. I really don't see why that's an impossible upset.
Yeah, and Russia is like I think Ray said it best. He's like, yeah, they just kind of go the round robin kind of run of the mill. Like, they don't ever really make you feel super comfortable, but they usually, I mean, they never really get upset in the quarters, right? They're always like in a gold or a bronze game.
Switzerland beat them like 2 years ago in the quarters, didn't they?
What, in Saskatoon 12 years ago?
No. Switzerland did like a couple of years ago.
No, but like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we're Russia, like they'll play Slovakia and beat them 3-2 and everybody like, yeah, I don't know about Russia. And then they'll take Canada to overtime or whatever.
They play down to their competition.
Oh, they play down or up, whatever, wherever they want to. They kind of do. That Sweden USA game, I mean, it was over in the first period, right?
Yeah, it sucked. I mean, Alnefeld lets in a couple very bad goals. And everyone was kind of ripping Ray Ferraro on his take on the commentary, but I think he was being more just honest. I mean, hey, Alnefeld looked shaky from the start. He was bobbling pucks. He didn't control a single rebound. And everyone's been there. I mean, any goalie you would talk to has those nights where you just don't have a feel for the puck. And after two, he should have been gone. They like, why wouldn't they call a timeout? What, I get it, they don't have their normal coaching staff and that guy on the bench looks like he's a healthy scratch, but like, you gotta do something there. You know your team's just getting pummeled by the Americans and they're not gonna stop. You gotta do something instead of wait till four.
Yeah, and I mean, I haven't been super impressed with Sweden. We'll get into this with Uffe in a bit, but Broberg is clearly injured. Like, I don't know. I have no idea why he's out there as much as he is. I get it, he's your captain and stuff, but like,
when that's 4-0, you send him to the dressing room.
Yeah, clearly injured. Raymond and Holtz, I mean, I just said it's 19-year-old tournament. They're both 18. So like, what do you want from them? And
more?
I mean, that it's, I don't know. USA is good though. Like, I'm not going to dispute that. And, you know, we'll see. I picked them to win, I guess. Right. So.
Wow. Yeah. That's and you were chirping me for my take, and mine's definitely looking a lot better than yours for our predictions. Okay.
What was your take?
I had Canada first, Russia second, USA wins bronze.
My Spencer Knight goalie pick isn't dead yet either.
And nobody got the hook. So, yeah, that puts him behind Devon Levi. We're going to get into our top forwards. But, you know, you brought up Lundell and Raymond. You go, oh, it's a 19-year-old tournament. Tim Stützle's put that one to shame. I mean,
yeah,
him and Peterka are doing it by themselves. And that's why there's such a huge gap, in my opinion, between a player like Stützle and a Marco Rossi, a Lundell, a Raymond, a Holtz. That's a massive gap. I mean, we're talking 2-3 years difference. Like, there's shades of Nathan MacKinnon in there. I'm not going to lie. But, okay, we got to get into it right now. Who's here? Let's go top four here. So let's go with a top forward, top D-man, top goalie, MVP. Start with the forward.
I'll go Stützle, because without him, Germany would be the worst team in the – actually, well, I don't think they'd be worse than Austria. But without him, like, they wouldn't even have a sniff. And I think he's in on – he has 10 points in 4 games, and he's been in on, I don't even think they've scored more than 13 goals.
No, he's easily the top forward right now. I agree with that. Who's your top D-man?
Top D-man, I will go with, I'll actually go, that's a tough one. That Niemela, I would have picked him because he's done a good job on Finland's power play, but I'll actually give it to Cam York. I just think he's been solid all around, maybe outside of the first game where nobody on USA was really that great, but I think York's been really good.
York has really impressed me. I also like Sanderson. I mean, he had a tough start again, but he's really picked it up. So just to be different, I'll go with Jake Sanderson. I think that he's really impressed me on the defensive side as well. Okay, top goaltender.
Right now it has to be Levi, right? Like, it doesn't really matter until the tournament's over, because they're going to play, what is it? Czech. They're going to play 3 pretty good teams here, so it doesn't really matter until the tournament's over, but it can't not be Levi right now.
Totally fair right there. It's kind of funny how he wasn't a household name at all. No one knew about him. I mean, he's playing in
a kind of a BS, junior league. That was kind of a BS story by TSN to like ask guys about how irrelevant he was.
Yeah, like, I know. I thought about that too. I was like, that's kind of shitty of them being like, hey, how about this teammate who you've never heard of? no one talks about him. Let's put it in the spotlight once again. It's like, okay, let's calm down. Funny enough, though, he's a Florida pick. So, and he's like a seventh rounder, and yeah. Knight's a first rounder. And right now I'd say they're on par. So, and,
yeah, I mean, you're not drafting the kids to play tomorrow, I guess, which is the developments part of it. I mean, you could honestly, even for top D-man, you could give Bowen Byram a look, because in four games, he only has three assists, which whatever, but he's a plus 13, right? Yeah.
Like, no, like, Bowen Byram and Drysdale, game. They've been awesome. It's tough to hold them out. But yet again, I mean, if our Canadian bias falls through, we got four Canadians in our top four. Let's dive into a little bit of NHL news. I just want some quick thoughts. Chara to the Capitals. You know, were you surprised? Obviously, you're surprised. But give me your thoughts on that quickly.
Yeah, I'm fine with Boston letting him walk. Like, they have Jakub Zboril, Jeremy Lauzon, Juro Vaakanainen. And I mean, let's be real, Chara's not 24. He's like 43, I think. Yeah, so, I mean, it's not a joke to let a player walk who, I mean, you need to get young guys in there, but I think it was a joke to have Ken Campbell get out in front of your team and report it. Like, if Boston could have just tweeted this out like a week ago, just, hey, we're going in a different direction, thank you, you know, we have this guy coming up, like, we thank Chara, his number will be retired, he has a job for life with us, whatever. But for them to like let it get out before they really even got out in front of it, I mean, they could have definitely handled it better.
Totally fair. They also announced outdoor games at Lake Tahoe. It looks like we're getting two. I think it's still unconfirmed, but you know, once Frege is reporting it, you expect the NHL to have an announcement very soon. Okay, you also chirped old-fashioned donuts on Twitter, so we got to get through this.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
away.
The plain ones, yeah.
Rank your top three Tim's donuts. I mean, this is like, just go through them right now. What are you ordering?
One Boston cream, two blueberry fritter, three honey cruller, maybe.
Holy, what are you, 12? Apple fritter, definitely number one. Sour cream glaze, number two. Great donut, underrated. And is a cinnamon bun a donut? They used to have really good cinnamon buns. I don't know. I'm not a big Tim's guy like you. Okay, we got 30 seconds. Let's bench someone this week. Who are we benching?
Sid Sexero for his 16, whatever. Who is the other guy? You went at another guy yesterday.
Oh, our friend Ken. What a stupid... Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, he's like chirping the Austrians. He's like, well, at least they got to go to the hotel and hang out there. It's like, hey, that Tendy is not on any NHL radar if he's not here. And now he's, every NHL team's taking a serious look, being like, do we bring this kid in? Do we draft him?
Also, I know we got to go, but Scott Wheeler, I'm going to bench also for like the ninth straight week, because Tim Stützle had like, I don't think I'll ever forget his performance against Switzerland, like need to win to get in the corners, whatever.
In Paterka, Florian.
Yeah, and Scott Wheeler going, Tim Stützle doing what a third overall pick should do in these games. It's like, man, like, give the guy some credit. He has 5 points halfway through the game.
Yeah, he looked a lot better than Zegras did against, you know, some of those other weak opponents. Alrighty, let's get out of here. We got to hit a commercial break here. When we come back, Uffe Bodin, the Swedish expert, coming to you live. It's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen, Adam Ermintrout with you. 12-ounce Sports Zingo TV, channel 761.
All right, welcome back to World Hockey Report with Cody and Adam. Joined now by Uffe Bodin, basically the top Swedish reporter in all of hockey. Brought to you by MyBookieAG. Uffe, how's it going? Tough one for your Swedes last night.
Yeah, the game started 3:30 in the morning here over here in Sweden, so it was tough on you know on the several parts there. Just staying awake there for the full three periods was kind of a challenge, but. Yeah, they came out really flat. I guess, you know, they had a really tough game against Russians the night before. You shouldn't use that as an excuse, because you need to have good back-to-back results if you're going to go far in this tournament. But they still looked a bit sluggish. And yeah, the Americans were a much better team, that's for sure.
Uffe, Cody here. I got to ask about the goaltending. You know, after these past couple of games, it's rare Sweden in this tournament especially allows four goals in a game, let alone, you know, twice in a row now. Is this, you know, a pretty big concern? Are there starting to be a lot of concerns around Alnefelt that maybe he won't bounce back? Are they going to go with the Wallstead kid? You know, is this something where maybe Sweden's goaltending is their weak point of the team this year?
You know, I wouldn't call it the weak point. Obviously, Hugo Alnefelt had a rough game last night, but Jesper Wallstedt, in the game before that against the Russians, he actually saved their bacon a few times. So I actually think, even though he let in four goals, he had actually a really decent game. And so now you're starting to wonder, like, okay, Alnefelt is he's like the seasoned veteran, if you can talk about players at this stage as veterans. But you know, he had a tournament last year where he was excellent, and he always obviously went into this tournament as the clear cut number one. But now Wallstedt had a really good start to the season in the SHL, and he's been, you know, I think he's been maybe the better goalie in the tournament this far. So it's going to be really interesting to see who they put in net. It's kind of a goalie controversy at this point. I don't think anyone expected that this would happen.
Uffe, what do you make of the performance of their two big guys up front, Raymond and Holtz? I mean, we talked about this earlier in the show, where usually there's 19-year-olds that dominate, and I mean, these kids are 18, so it's a lot of pressure on them, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, they're supposed to be, you know, the Swedish offensive dynamos, the guys that score the key goals and step up in the, you know, in the situations where it's needed. And they haven't done it this far. You have to be honest about that. And I think part of the problem is that they don't really have the centerman that they were supposed to have. Carl Henriksson, who has played with them, you know, basically all the way from under 18 World Championships, as well as the last year's World Junior Championships. He had a positive COVID-19 test right before they were supposed to gather the team, so he can come to Edmonton. And like, the center position is really the weak position for the Swedes right now. They've been playing with Albin Sundsvik in this tournament, and he's more of a defensive type of, you know, reliable guy. He hasn't, you know, that much offense in his game. So it's a bit of a dilemma there, because they don't really have that player that can, you know, help them grow into this tournament as Carl Henriksson did last year. So I think that's something that they are sorely lacking right now.
I wanted to ask about Philip Broberg. I'm up by Edmonton here, and you know, he's obviously a great defenseman, but he looks banged up right now. I mean, when healthy, I think he's pretty well one of the top defensemen, if not the top defenseman in the tournament. How close is he to NHL ready, in your opinion?
I think he'll do the right thing, that he'll go back to Sweden and finish this season in the SHL. I don't, based on what I've seen this fall, I don't view him as NHL ready at this point, but obviously he has, you know, tremendous upside and a really intriguing skill set that I think will make him an NHL player at some point. But I think it's the right move from the Edmonton Oilers. You know, they've been rushing too many prospects, as we've seen through the years. You can probably make a long list. And I think under Kenny Holland, they've done a great job, you know, assessing their prospect pool, you know, being more patient, not, you know, throwing them into the fire, at the first best chance. So I think it's going to be good for Broberg to go back to Sweden and you know, just continue to grow his game there before, you know, being more mature and more ready to compete for a spot.
Do you think Sweden, obviously Broberg's banged up, do you think Sweden maybe has to alter their focus than what it's been in years past for this tournament, just to focus on their defense with Soderstrom and Bjornfoot and Albert Johansson and the strength of their goalie, and kind of focus on that in order to, I guess, win?
Yeah, I mean, Broberg, he didn't look like a very happy hockey player last night. Obviously, he looks really uncomfortable, and obviously that has an impact on his game. I mean, I think he was -3 last night and didn't look healthy. And I have no idea what kind of injury he's dealing with, but it's apparently something that's really slowing him down, because he doesn't look like the player that he's capable of being. So I think you maybe need to give the other players that you mentioned there, the other defensemen, some more ice time, and you know, the hope that they can carry the team that, like, he was supposed to do.
Sticking with Sweden, Uffe, is there someone on this team who surprised you this tournament? Maybe someone who's played a bigger role or done a better job than maybe you had targeted before the tournament started?
Yeah, I mean, there are two players that stick out for me. It's Elmer Soderblom. He's, you know, he's the 6 foot seven or whatever guy.
Giant.
Playing on the third line. Yeah, he's a giant. He scored a really pretty goal in early in the tournament against the Czechs. And he's been, you know, he's been a very pleasant surprise. He hadn't played a game for I think 2 months entering the tournament. And has been maybe consistently one of the best forwards. He hasn't produced like maybe some of the other has, but, you know, consistently he's been good every game and really has taken his game to a level that I could not foresee, at least. And then another guy who's been kind of funny to watch is Arvid Kostmar, Canucks 7 draft pick. He's got that kind of Brad Marchand mentality where he gets, you know, in the opponent's face. And you could see against Russia that they were really mad about how he played, and, you know, they took a few penalties retaliating. So he's been really funny to watch. That was a guy that I didn't have a lot of, I hadn't seen him too much, but he's been super fun to watch as well. So I think those are the two that stick out to me.
Yeah, I tweet. I love Kostmar's game when he was like, he wasn't doing anything dirty or that was going to get a penalty. He was just drawing penalties and being a pest, which was good. I always ask our European guests, where's this tournament at in Sweden? Like, are they, I think they host in a couple of years here. Like, is it pretty popular? Are people getting up at 3:30 in the morning to watch?
Yeah, it's, I mean, for the last 10 plus years, it's been growing immensely here and growing really popular. I think part of it is, you know, just as you guys are well aware of, like just the entertainment level of these games. Like, it's super fun to watch. And also, I think, like, even though it's tough time, you could see on social media that, like, even though it's in the middle of the night, you can see that a lot of people are up watching. So that's obviously, that's commitment. So just, I remember when I went to my first World Juniors, actually was in Sweden back in 2006, 2007. I think, like, that's when, you know, the popularity of the tournament really started to grow here. And from that point on, and especially winning the gold in Calgary in 2012, I think this tournament has become a real, like, one of the big, highlights of the season for Swedish hockey fans, actually.
Yeah, it's definitely growing over there. I know I got to play with a couple of Swedes and they're always watching it. They always pay attention. So it's good to see the game, like the younger ranks grow a little bit over there for international competition. Now in Canada, I mean, hey, when things don't go our way, overreacting is, you know, kind of like the second language here. Everyone just freaks out. But how bad would it be? Like, you got a huge quarterfinal game against Finland now. Like, if Sweden loses, you know, tomorrow, we'll dive a little bit more into the preview before. But, like, if Sweden loses this, are Swedes going to overreact? I mean, if it happens in Canada and they lose out in the quarterfinals, I mean, you might as well burn down Vancouver again. You know, it's not a pretty sight.
Yeah, I don't think we're at that point, absolutely. Like, if they do, like, if they play a bad game, I mean, they're going to get trashed on social media, that's for sure. We had 2 years ago in Vancouver when I was there, actually it was in Victoria, they lost to Switzerland in the quarterfinals, and that was, you know, that was really bad. But what made things worse is actually that one of the players, stupidly enough, he posted, like, after the game, they went to some nightclub in Vancouver party, you know.
Roxy.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Roxy, but something like that. But, you know, and all hell broke loose. So if they lose, they better stay low-key, that's for sure.
Uffe, obviously, you're a Swedish reporter. I'm sure you've written about this big streak they've had a couple times. It was snapped this year, a snap to Russia. Do you buy into that this streak could be a good thing, just to, like, breaking it could be a good thing, just get it over with, you know, focus on winning and not about, oh, we have this streak, but we only have one gold in the last however many years?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. Because, like, as you mentioned, like, okay, it was a fantastic streak, but at the same time, one goal during these, I think it was 14 years. So, I mean, it's better. I feel like in these tournaments, it's better if you play a few bad games in the round robin, and then you get that out of the way, out of the system, so to speak, and then you focus and play better in the playoffs. And I think that's been kind of Sweden's problem to a lot of these tournaments, that they maybe over celebrated a bit when they won a group, or they managed to beat an opponent like Russia or Canada in the round robin, and then they lacked maybe the focus they needed to be competitive in the playoffs. So maybe this year, now that they had, I mean, their game against Russia was sensational. That was a great game by the Swedes. But the game against the US was basically the worst one they had in this tournament. So now that that's out of the way, maybe they can just refocus and try to make a better game against the Finns.
Now, looking ahead at the quarterfinals, I'm not going to say Pirinen's a household name, the Finnish goaltender, by any means, but is there some concern that Sweden could get caught in a low-scoring defensive battle and it could just be a one-bounce goal like the Russian one again? Like, I don't know if I've seen enough out of Raymond and Holtz to be like, hey, they got a chance to take over this quarterfinal. I mean, what's the biggest concern, in your opinion, for Team Sweden coming into the quarterfinals tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, because we've seen that with the Finns so many times, like they're really pesky and they play their system to perfection a lot of times. So I definitely think if it's going to be a low-scoring affair, it's probably going to be to the advantage of the Finns. So I think really, like, there's a huge amount of pressure on Raymond and Holtz in a game like this to really be a difference makers, because they're obviously the clear-cut stars on this roster and the ones that could make a difference. So they will be key, and then obviously the goaltending situation after last night is somewhat of a question mark. So I think those are the things that could really make it troublesome for the Swedes if things don't work out.
Uffe, how do you think the tournaments went this year? I'm assuming you've been to your fair share of World Juniors, and you might have even been to this one. How do you think the tournaments went this year as far as the hockey, and who's outside of Sweden, what other players or teams have you liked so far in the tournament?
I mean, it's hard. Like, normally I'm there. I'm in the arena. I'm taking in the atmosphere and everything. So it's kind of hard to say what the tournament it's been like in that sense. But I mean, like, everything seems to have been working really fine. There've been no COVID problems after they entered a bubble, so that's sweet. But so that's all good. As far as other players, yeah, I mean, Trevor Seagrass, I mean, Jesus, what a player. I mean, I was head over heels, I fell in love with him during the tournament last year because I thought it was sensational. But like this year, he's been taking it to another level. So I can only congratulate the Hanover Ducks for drafting him, because he looks like the real deal.
Is he better than Stützle?
That's a tough one. I mean, Stützle, he's pretty much on his own. Like, the Germans have a few other players that are good or okay. But I mean, obviously what he does, that's more of an MVP caliber thing maybe. But yeah, I think I actually been more impressed by Seagrass this far.
Okay, I got to ask one more then for just the quarterfinals tomorrow before we wrap up here. Who are you starting in goal? If you're on the bench, Uffe, who are you calling upon for your quarterfinals must-win game against Finland?
Yeah, so I would actually go with Jesper Wallstedt. I think, just during that 24 hours where the streak, where they lost the streak and everything, I think he was the superior goalie. So he just seems to have the hotter hand right now. So I would pick him, yeah.
It's not just because of Alnefeld's mismatching gear either?
Yeah, that could be that could be a reason too.
Are people in Sweden chirping him for that? Like, it looks weird, I'm not gonna lie. Two different shades of yellow there, like Bauer can't figure it out.
I actually haven't heard anything about that. I mean, people harp on most things on social media, so I wouldn't be surprised if they found it annoying.
Uffe, thank you so much for joining us. If all goes to plan, if all the favorites win and Sweden's favorite, it'll be a Canada-Sweden semifinal. So I'm hoping for your sake Sweden gets a bronze medal this year. So thanks for joining us. We'll have to do this again down the road.
Hey, thanks you guys. Pleasure joining you.
Alrighty, Yoni Niemann is next. It's Cody Janza and Adam Ermentrout with you on 12 Ounce Sports Zingo TV channel 761. Okay, we're back. Cody Janza and Adam Ermentrout with you here. We'll talk your part live coming to you on 12 Ounce Sports Zingo TV channel 761. Let's bring our next guest here to talk some Team Finland for our friends at Coco Vodka, Coco Rum for Vero Hockey, the best in custom team apparel. Yes, that's right. It's Yoni Niemann coming on this show. Yoni, I want to get your thoughts on last night's game because, you know, Finland came out flat, but after that first 20, I mean, I feel like the game really started to level out and maybe even Finland was right on par with Canada in the third period. What was your biggest takeaway from it?
Yeah, hi Adam. Hi Cody. It was a shock start from Canada. You know, they were so fast, they were so strong. They took all the time and thinking away from the Finns. Like, you just couldn't, you know, you get the puck and they're on you right away. And they played, they kind of looked like a Kenny Hitchcock made the plan. Like, they came up high to stop the Finns and It was quite the shock. Even though I'm sure the Finnish coaching staff and the players, they knew what was to expect, they still didn't hit them until it hit them in the game. Because the coach said that he was watching it from the ice level, from the bench, and he said it was like just almost like NHL level hockey in a small rink. And you're right. I and that's a coach said the same thing. Like they tried to calm down a little bit, and they got a little better on the second period. At third period, they were almost on par there. They had some chance, not a lot, but they got some chances at least. And in the third period, they got their own game going a little bit. So yeah, it was quite the lesson for the Finns about how the best players play in the small rinks here in Canada. And I think the players and the coaching staff, and they said that after the game, that they'll be stronger for it. You know, that's the positive way of looking at it.
Yoni, do you think one of those players is probably Anton Lundell, who, like, when he got drafted, everybody said he's a good two-way centerman, focuses too much on defense. Do you think he kind of needs to take over in a game like that, and I guess obviously in the quarterfinals going forward?
Yeah, well, he's played a pretty strong tournament so far. He's got a few goals, and he's dominating in the face-off circle. You know, I think he's like 70% of face-offs. But yesterday was a tough game that I don't think anybody really, except the goalie, anybody really shown or had a chance to do anything at all. But going forward, I think Anton Lundell is the guy who leads the team, and he's done quite well so far. So absolutely.
One guy I got to ask about, and I mean, hey, we're both from Saskatchewan. I'm up by Edmonton right now, but Brad Lambert, I mean, this is a guy with family ties to the hockey world. I mean, he's as engraved in it as anyone, and he's been impressive. I mean, I've loved watching Brad Lambert in this tournament. I'm not going to lie. I think he probably has to be one of the front runners for a first overall pick in the NHL. But what's been your takeaway on him? Are you impressed? How much have you seen of him? Because I've got nothing but good things to say about his game. And I mean, he's not even draft eligible yet.
Yeah, I've been to every game and tried to watch him. Obviously, we hear so much about him. He just turned 17 before the tournament started, and his skating looks just so easy. Like there's a kid who spent a lot of time. I think he's grown up mostly. He's been over here too, but he's grown up mostly in the central Finland, where the weather's perfect for ODR or going on the lake or whatever. So he spent a lot of time out there working on his skating, or just skating for fun, which never even feels like work. And he's done a lot for a kid that young, and just the skating and his speed he's got a very high skill set for such a young kid, and things don't seem to faze him even. It's very unusual that the kid is brought into this 19-year-old tournament at this age, and he's done really well. Like you guys saw the goal yesterday. Like, he just sniped it from put it in the back corner. Like, just there's a lot of I don't think we've seen a lot of it yet. I think there's so much yet to come. Looking forward to the tournament next year here in Edmonton. Brad Lambert. It's funny, we were not sure how to say the name, and the Finnish team said that it's pronounced in the French way, Lambert.
Interesting.
Different than his cousins, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yoni, do you think Finland needs some more secondary scoring? I don't really want to focus in too much on yesterday, but their second rounder for Ottawa, Robbie Gervais, he doesn't have a point. Aku Ratti hasn't been anything special. Do you think they need more from those guys? And I guess the opposite end, who's impressed you on Finland? I know Niemelä, the defenseman, has 7 points already too.
Yeah, well, this is something I had a chance to interview the coach, Antti Penonen, who's, I think, is very, very impressive, fairly young coach who's been assistant on gold medal winning teams in this tournament and the men's side as well before, and I'm very, very impressed by his way of thinking after every game, and I had, on the day off, I had a chance to chat with him a little bit on the phone. And I didn't want to say any names, but I know he knew I was talking about Robbie Järventie there. But I asked about what do you do when you have a player on the top six, basically, and who doesn't have any points? And he said that in that case, you have to build that player's identity and his confidence on other things than just the points. You know, like you have to get him into the game, and you have to try to build his confidence, keep the confidence, and build it on different, he used the word stone legs, like put stone legs on his game, other ways. And he said that, you know what, remember 2 years ago, Kaapo Kakko was like that. And then at the end, he all of a sudden comes and boom, scores the winning goal, and Finland's the champion. Like that's what, it's interesting. He brought up Kaapo Kakko as an example. Like he had a kind of a tournament like that, but they kept on him. They kept trying to build his confidence, and you know, he went home with a gold medal.
That's fair. Gotta love that Finnish mentality. Yeah. Now coming up on the quarterfinals here tomorrow, I want to ask. I mean, we just had Uffe Bodin on, and I mean, he talked about the rivalry. But from your perspective, I mean, how big is it now between Finland and Sweden? I mean, you know, we always think of Scandinavia, but Denmark and Norway are nowhere even close. I mean, like for Finland and Sweden, how big is this? What can you compare it to? How much does this mean to Finnish people?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I wanted to get back to the... Well, after this, maybe we can talk about... The players that impressed so far. But, yeah, Finland, Sweden, there's nothing like it. See, we used to be the same country for 600 years, from the Crusaders to 1815, I believe, or something like that. And Finland, as a result, were a bilingual country. Even though my last name is Nieminen, actually, my grandpa was born with a Swedish name, but don't tell anybody. and we've had this rivalry going since forever. It's when I was growing up, it was the biggest in track and field. We had the Finland-Sweden games every summer, and it's huge. And there's a lot of Finnish immigrants in Sweden who, like, for them, this is the most important thing ever. And in hockey, it's always been huge, because we're kind of like the small brother of Sweden. We like to bring out the differences that and different history that we have, but when it really comes down to it, we're the best of friends. There's no better neighbor you could have than Sweden. There's absolutely nothing better.
But I guess
we love nothing more than beating them as well.
I guess you could finish off Adam's questions with players who have impressed you. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No problem. Well, there's a couple guys. I've been watching. There's Samuel Helenius. I don't know if you guys remember his old man. Sami Helenius was probably the only Finnish enforcer in the league, in the NHL, for a few years. He actually had a fight with Zorro Varrock in Dallas, and lived to talk about it. But his kid Samuel Helenius, he's been playing on the center in the lower lines, and he's 6'6", hasn't been drafted yet, and he's really impressed me. He sniped a couple of goals. He's played quite physical, I watched him yesterday. He buried somebody in the corner while Finns were losing most of the battles. And I've been quite impressed by Samuel Helenius. I've talked a little bit to some scouts about him, and they just say that when he puts a little bit of muscle on that frame, they'll look out, that there might be a first rounder there. And there's a couple other guys, Lambert, like they said, and Topi Nieminen has scored a lot of points. I like defenseman Emil Viro. I think he's like plus five. So there's a Juuso Pärssinen has been very, very physical at times. So there's a few guys, and obviously goaltender Kari Piiroinen. And we were thinking before the tournament that Joel Blomqvist, the Pittsburgh pick, would be the goalie, but he hasn't even. I don't think he's dressed yet. So Kari Piiroinen has played very, very well. So there's a couple guys.
What do you, so you've gone to all the games here, or a lot of the Finnish games. Just what's it like in the arenas? I've been watching sports with no fans for like 10 months now, so it just seems like a regular game to me at this point. But what's it like going to the arenas? Like, how many media and scouts are allowed there, and the atmosphere and all that?
It's weird. I covered the Stanley Cup as well. I went to probably 45 games at least, and when I first came, went in July, it was plus 34 outside and cold as heck inside. And usually NHL games, the media wear suits and ties, and we've got rid of all that. Now it's like toques and parkas and wool sweaters. Like, it's really, really cold in there. And I didn't realize 18,000 people that they keep that much of a, bring so much heat. There's no scouts, which is unusual. I've been to this tournament many times and in Europe and over here, and usually there's a lot of scouts, even though the under 18 is the bigger one, but there's no scouts at all, which is really weird, but that's because of the corona stuff, I guess. And most games, there's maybe, yesterday there was five or six media outside of the broadcasters are inside the bubble, but we're the ones outside of the bubble. So we have our own entrance, and the COVID protocol coming in and out, like questions and such. It's really weird. It's different. You can hear the fake crowd noise but they do a really, really good job of it. But it's different for sure.
Are you hearing guys, the coaches swear on the bench or what?
Not so much, but in the Stanley Cup, we could hear everything. We could hear the chirping, the swearing. It was actually a lot of fun to listen to. Some teams were louder than others, and you heard some stuff you didn't want to hear. Like, I don't mean any really bad, but just like somebody got nailed and they're still chirping at him.
Funny stuff.
Yeah, funny stuff, yeah. Like, nothing that we knew about. And also you saw how the stripes, the referees, how they really had a good control. Good control of the game. You could hear that, which you usually that you can't hear that because of the crowd noise.
Probably, so, yeah, it's
and Edmonton. That's another thing. The Finnish coach said I really appreciated as a longtime resident here. That he said that the Canadian hockey culture inside the bubble. He said that he's really appreciates that people do so much work for them. They take such good care of the players and the coaches and everybody else. That here in Canada, players and coaches and everybody in hockey is respected and like that. That he said that he's been really impressed to be a part of that as a coach. So they've done a really good job, and it's not an easy season for anyone. But they've done a really good job here in Edmonton from everybody that I've heard.
Well, Yoni, I'm sure we could talk to you for hours. And I mean, maybe we'll have to get you back on when the NHL starts up to talk some Puljujarvi. But thank you so much for your time today.
Anytime, my pleasure, guys. Thanks.
Alrighty, take care.
Thank you.
Yoni Nieminen right there, coming to you live on World Hockey Report. Huge thanks to him, Uffe Boudin. Wow, that's a tough one. I mean, we're getting the foreign languages up there. Adam, we got a minute left here. We need quarterfinal predictions. Let's start with the top. Let's go Russia, Germany.
4-2 Russia.
Close
Germany's goalie just isn't good. If he was better, I'd maybe pick an upset, but
that's fair. I was thinking 5-3 Russia, as much as I want the upset. Actually, let's go with 4-3. Let's go with 4-3 Russia on that one. Next one, Finland, Sweden.
Like 2-1 Sweden.
2-1 Finland for me. And I think that one's getting a WHR OT challenge for sure. Oof, Canada, Czech Republic.
4-2 Canada, probably.
It's a 6-1 game, easily. Canada. USA, Slovakia.
5-1 US, probably.
Wow, you're keeping it low scoring. No chance USA doesn't put up less than 7. So I'll go 8-1 USA over Slovakia. That's going to do it. Huge thanks again, Uffe Bodin. You don't even it for hopping on the show. That was an awesome one. I really enjoyed talking to them. We're going to be back next week. Same time, same place. Enjoy the quarterfinals, everyone. I'm telling you, be kind, be better.